Chapter 1. The sea giveth and the sea taketh away. Aboard HMS Neptune, North Atlantic. A few minutes after three bells, Sir Charles Saunders, Admiral of the Blue, set his quill aside and rubbed his eyes, unsure how he should continue writing the account of Neptune's current situation. It was all for posterity, of course. It would be transcribed into an Admiralty book and placed upon some dusty shelf somewhere to be reviewed sometime by someone. Lord Anson had told him years ago, when they were circumnavigating the Earth in Centurion, that, as much as every captain, or for that matter every admiral, dwelt on the exact words he might use to convey the account of his travels, in the long run they were largely ignored. But it doesn't mean you don't write them nonetheless, Anson had told him. He wondered whether now that Anson himself was First Lord, he took the time to read what was written in ships' logs that found their way back to London, as opposed to the ones that were lost, destroyed, or neglected. Saunders took his hat from its hook and left the cabin to go above decks, hoping that there might be some inspiration there. Middle watch belonged to his executive officer. Mr. Prince, they called him in public. Prince Edward Augustus, third child of the late Prince Frederick and younger brother of the Prince of Wales, was certainly the socially highest-ranking officer in His Majesty's Navy. It had taken some negotiation and discussion between Whitehall and the Admiralty to settle the delicate point of address. But the Prince, Mr. Prince, was junior on board the Master Before God commander of Neptune. Saunders walked up onto the quarterdeck, offering only the slightest of nods to each salute. He reached into his sleeve and withdrew his glass, turned to face east and focused on the horizon. There was light all along it. It looked a great deal like sunrise, but the new day was hours away. Mr. Prince, tell me what you make of that. He snapped his glass shut and gestured toward the eastern horizon. His executive officer stepped forward to stand beside him and took out his own glass and raised it to his eye.
I have no idea, my lord. Maybe it's a comet.
The comet?
That should be over there.
Saunders gestured toward the northern sky, which was muddied with low clouds.
But that? I don't know what that is.
Commander Prince closed his own glass and tucked it away.
Perhaps we should ask the general.
Saunders snorted. I do not think the general has anything much to say.
Still hasn't managed to get his sea legs, Prince said.
He doesn't have sea guts, Saunders replied. Apparently he has always had this weakness.
I expect he goes queasy when he strolls across London Bridge.
He is quite capable on land, my Lord Admiral. His bravery at Louisbourg several months ago led to the capture of that fortress. I trust that you are not questioning His Highness's choice of commanders.
Saunders cocked his head and smiled.
I don't usually tolerate that sort of insolence from my officers. But of course, only one of my officers is a prince of the blood. So let me assure you that I mean no disrespect to His Highness by my remarks.
And I mean no disrespect to you, my Lord Admiral. Indeed, I am somewhat disheartened that General Wurf has never accustomed himself to travel by sea, since he seems to have done so much of it.
James Wolfe was only recently elevated to the rank of general as a part of this expedition. As a colonel the previous summer, he had seized an important post on his own initiative during the British assault on the French fortress of Louisbourg, their present destination, a few weeks away. He would be in command of the next step in the war against the French. This time, instead of seizing some jumped-up fortress in godforsaken Acadia, there would be an expedition along the St. Lawrence to drive the French from North America once and for all.
We each have our assigned roles, Mr. Prince, Saunders said. When we reach Louisbourg, I am certain he will rise to the occasion.
Prince Edward nodded. He is a very brave man.
He, Saunders began, but stopped. He looked up at the masts. The sails were rippling with a sudden and